I regret the wrong, and I'll die in
America. Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Medical Tuesday Night broadcast, the topic being first aid, with your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis. Now, if you're new just tuning in to us, if you haven't done so already, check out our national Facebook page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Before you hit that join button, just know that we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout everything we do here in the Defenders 7. We also have a YouTube channel. Hop over there and hit that subscribe button for us. We have a website. Be sure to subscribe to that also. And on our website, we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all proceeds from sales from our store and any donations we bring in go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. And that website is www.defenders7.com. We're also on MeWe. If you click on communities and scroll down, Defenders 7, a humanitarian American patriot group. And yes, we are not a militia. And for tonight's show and all the shows we do here on Block Talk Radio, we enjoy it when you call in and participate. And that number to call, area code 914-205-5773. Now, without further ado, allow me to bring in your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis. Good evening.
Good evening. How's you?
Nah, could be better, but I'm all right. You?
True. Well, you know, life's a bitch, and it's a stripper named.
Then you marry one.
All I have to say. See.
And then you marry.
You know what? I gave my notice. Then you marry one. Well, that's it. Whatever. I gave my notice on Friday, right? So I was waiting for the shit to hit the fan. So yesterday, I didn't even go into the office. I got there at 7 o'clock, picked up my car, went to my first patient. I saw like nine people yesterday, right? So today, I got there about 15 minutes late. And the HR manager, she's flipping shit because she thought I just quit. Like, she thought it was a, so I walk in, not a high, nothing. I'm like, wow, I guess they are pissed that I'm quitting. So anyway, I'm in the stock room getting some stuff for one of my patients. And she comes in and she's just looking at me, giving me these eyes. I'm like, what? And I said, oh, I was wondering when you come and find me. And so I explained why I gave my notice. And she's like, I think you misunderstood our conversation. Oh, no, I understood it quite well. The owner was unprofessional by the way she handled things. If looks could kill, I'd be dead right now. And she says, what do you mean? I said, Betty, dude, I called her a cheap ass. And so the company is formal. And she said, "You what?" I go, "You saw the post, didn't you?" She's like, "Yeah, but I didn't realize you were talking about her." I'm like, "Yeah." And she about fell out of her seat. She busted out laughing. And see, she's been there for 30 years. The company's 30 years old, right? And so
right. She's
been friends with the owner for 30 years. So anyway, I'm going through this whole thing and explaining, you know, and then I said, and things happened after that and when I gave my notes, and I said, there's no teamwork, you know, people, it's, you know, backstabbing. I said, I can't work like that. I can't work in an environment like that. So needless to say, when she asked me what I thought about the new LPN that started, and I just rolled my eyes and she goes, "Oh, God." I said, "Well, you ask. You ask, and I'm going to tell you." I said, "Betty," I said, "she would be great. She's been only been a nurse for 8 years." I say only because it's still not a lot. But she's never done nursing. Never. She worked as a director at assisted living, which all she did was admissions, discharges, schedules, payment. You know, that's all she ever did. And I said, "She'd be great to go to nursing homes and rehabs and stuff like that to get hospice patients." I said, "She'd be great at it. But as far as a nurse, no, she can't hack it." So needless to say, she's like, "Well, why don't you get back to the skill set?" I'm like, no, that's where all the problems are. And so their hospice is about to be screwed royally. She had 5 patients yesterday and left because she couldn't handle it. And so I don't know what they're going to do. And I quit it for them, but no.
She quit?
She went home for the day. No, she just couldn't handle it. And she had to go home. But I had 9 patients yesterday. All my charts were done.
Right.
But like, really? Seriously? So, but I told her, she thinks I'm taking time off because my brother and Ashley is pregnant again. And her husband's a trucker, and he can be all, you know. And with having a second baby, she's going to need some help. So they don't really realize that I've got another job lined up. Because I don't want to hear it.
So when are you leaving?
Where am I leaving? My last day is the 22nd.
Oh, okay.
22nd. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I've done all my paperwork. And tomorrow's IDT. And every two weeks, you have to have a meeting with the medical director or the doctor. And it's guidelines, Medicaid, Medicare, you have to do it. And the owner has no freaking clue what she's doing. She has no idea. She is so lost. And I'm like, wow. So tonight I am going through all of my patients who has wound care and a basic synopsis, what's wrong with them, you know, and what's been going on, because it's going to be a shit show tomorrow.
Right.
And I'm like,
you,
I said,
you need to do
a
synopsis on Lorna too.
A what?
a synopsis. But I know I used a big word. I'm sorry.
No picture, Lorna. Sorry.
Oh, dang it!
I know. Just picture your brain. And little firings, little electrical firings, that's a synapse. So basically it's the same thing. Tell people how shit works. So anywho.
And that's the
so
problem.
I
she has no spark.
I know. I lost
know.
My spark.
That's our,
my spark is gone.
You're give a damn busted. Kind of like mine. Just don't give a crap. So I want to just continue on with the safety. It's safety, first aid, and all that cool shit. And I know we did it last year, but I figured why not, you know. So for a first aid kit, like we said, you can go to anywhere and get a first aid kit. All the way from $10 huge. It comes with a bag and like five Band-Aids, two packs of Tylenol, you know, bunch of BS stuff. And you can keep that in your car for, you know, if you're traveling and, you know, I don't know, you get a paper cut from the map. Oh, that's right. Nobody reads maps anymore. Jeez. But, you know, you get the point what I'm saying. You can get those small ones, and then you can go all the way up to those big, huge ones. It's like, what's that big medic one, that red one? Is it $379 or something? And it's enough for 21 people, I believe. But the thing
yeah.
with those, be careful if you buy those, because they don't give you a whole lot of anything in them. I mean, they have a lot of good shit in them, don't get me wrong. But make sure you go through it. And because you could buy all the refills, like the little packets of Tylenol, aspirin, Motrin, Imodium, cold medicine, Benadryl. You could buy replacement packets, and you get them like 100 packets to a box. And I couldn't tell you how much they cost. You'd have to go, you could go on Amazon, you could go on, I use Vitality Medical. There's also McKesson. All of those medical supply companies sell the refill for first aid kits. Or you could do it the way I did it. And I just went on the medical supply website and ordered a case of gauze wrap. I bought, you know, I buy everything by bulk. And if it's not by bulk, I'll buy like five or six or something, you know, because here's the thing that we're having a problem with. We cannot get saline, normal saline, for cleaning wounds. It's on back order. So if you want to build your own first aid kit, with all these shortages of stuff going around, medical supplies are going to be up there too. So you
yep.
better start putting some stuff away. Now, if you're on a tight budget, the Dollar Tree has a lot of stuff. And that's where I put a little small one to get it for my son when we first started making our first aid kit. They got like $1 for Benadryl, Tylenol, Excedrin, and there's like 18 caplets per bottle, which is a good start. Don't get me wrong, it's a good start. And you could... And they got Band-Aids, they've got they don't have ACE wrap. But they got minor first aid supplies. Then you've got your Family Dollar, Dollar Tree, not Dollar Tree, Family Dollar, Dollar General, Walmart, your drugstore. Like I said, be careful because the prices, they're already price gouging anyway. And something that I just found out yesterday, for Walmart in Wichita, East Wichita, all of their Walmarts are charging more, double and triple, for products than West Wichita. Because that's where all the people on food stamps live, is in West Wichita. So remember I was bitching about yesterday, the two and a half, you could, at Walmart, you could buy the 60 eggs for like $3.79, well, now they're $15. And on the other side of the city, it's around the same price. The $3.79, $4, $5, whatever. So look around. Oh, you know what? Ollie's Bargain Basement or whatever, they may have medical supplies. I think you look. Not sure. But, you know, there's plenty of places. Oh, Big Lots, that's another place. Big Lots has a lot of medical stuff. So anyway, some of the basic necessity things, alcohol wipes. You can never have too many alcohol wipes. I kid you not. Or bottles of alcohol. You can either get the 70% or the 90% alcohol. Kind of hard to get the 90% alcohol right now. Most of the time you're going to find 50 and 70. Now, times get tough and shit hits the fan, you could always go get a bottle of Everclear. That shit will sterilize anything. believe it or not, people actually use Everclear to clean their camera lenses and camera equipment. So, yes, it will sterilize. You could get antibacterial wipes or hand gel. Do not confuse the antibacterial, the hand sanitizer wipe for baby wipes. Please don't. Quite painful if you do. Antibiotic ointment packets. You can, you know, talk about the, what the hell is it called? The triple antibiotic ointment. What's that shit called? I know there's a name for it. It's a little yellow tube. You guys know? Or you in the dark?
What?
Like I am. The triple antibiotic ointment. What the hell is that crap called?
B&D?
No.
Or
no.
D?
Neosporin?
Yeah, but it's... Yeah, Neosporin. That's what it is. But they even have generic. But, yeah, you can get that in the tubes, or you can even get it in the packet.
You can get desitin,
too. Oh, yeah. Desitin is something else, another good thing to have because, God forbid, even for babies, toddlers, even for adults, man, if you get out and your ass gets chapped, chafed, or whatever you want to call it, from sweating, yes, you just put it on your butt, and you know, between your legs, and that will help. It's
or in Lorna's case, from whipping.
Yeah. hydrogen peroxide is also good to have. Something that I did not know and that I found out, this is why I do so much research, I study a lot, and look stuff up. See, you know, back in the day, I say back in the day, and I mean like 10 years ago, back in the day, you used, if you got a really bad cut, everybody used peroxide on your cuts, right? You know, gashes, cut, not like deep penetrating wounds, but anything. If your dog bites you, your cat scratches you, you step on a nail, God forbid, and you would clean it with peroxide. You know, you're only supposed to clean it with peroxide the very first time. They don't recommend you doing it over and over again. See, I didn't know that.
Huh.
And I would always, I would do it like, just say, not once a day, but like every other day, I would really clean it. But really, they recommend, for the first time, it's okay. And it foams up and all that bacteria and all that shit goes there. And then after that, just use, here's the other thing. You don't even have to use antibacterial soap anymore, which I'm like, I cringe at that. But no, they're saying just use regular Dial or Irish Spring, Lever Tooth. I don't care what kind of soap you got. And use that. You may not want to use one that's really heavily perfumed because that might irritate whatever it is you're washing off. And that's all they tell you have to do. Now, if it's a big open wound, you might want to use wound cleaner. And you could actually buy that stuff. It's in a spray bottle. Gotcha, they can use alcohol, but you can use that. Or back in the 70s, when they used Mercurochrome, I wish they'd bring that back. maybe
being attacked.
Huh?
I'm being attacked by this weird-looking moth that almost looks like a moth hummingbird.
Oh. But, you know, have your parents ever used Mercurochrome on you? That red vial?
That stuff was the bomb. I don't remember what it was called, but...
They need to bring that... Mercurochrome. That's what it was called. They need to bring that shit back. Okay? Because kids today have been wussified, and they need... They need a reality check, and I think that will do it right there, is Mercurochrome. I'm telling you,
Heck, it's
the cure-all for stupidity. I'm telling you. Adhesive bandages. for Band-Aids. You can get all different sizes of Band-Aids. The little round ones, the, you know, the big square ones, rectangle ones. You can go to Family Dollar and get them for like $3 a box. And they use like 5 or 10 of them. And also there's different, try not to get those plasticky, you know, plasticky, I'm making up words now. But fabric Band-Aids are better than those plastic feeling ones. You know what I'm talking about? The second you get your skin wet, boom, it doesn't stick. But those freaking fabric ones will stick to anything, like freaking concrete. Cold pack, the compress, they got different sizes of those. I'm not talking about the gel ones that you stick in the freezer that you put in your cooler. I'm talking about the ones where you have to break it. You know, I'm talking about squeeze it and shake it. And
I got a couple of them. I like the gel packs better.
Well, yeah, I have the flexible gel ones, but that's mostly like when I'm retarded and I hurt my knee or my ankle. Those things, yeah, are really good. But if you're out hiking or fishing or whatever, those are gonna get warm and then they're useless. So have both. Get both of those. They're really good to have. Cotton balls. If you don't have alcohol pads. So, you know, the tiny, you know, the little itty-bitty one-by-one squares that are good enough to clean your phone screen on or whatever, get cotton balls. Get a bottle of alcohol. Boom. Same principle. It works. But you could also use cotton balls and Vaseline as a fire starter. It's pretty cool. Ace wraps. I would get different sizes. They have 2-inch, 3-inch, 4-inch, 6-inch, and I think they have 8-inch. 8-inch are hard to come by, and then they have, you know, you can start to sew and wrap all the way up to your butthole. They got some that's 5 yards long. Some are 8 yards. I swear to God, I have some of my patients have these 8-yard wraps. And you could go up and down their leg like 4 times. And so they have different lengths of wraps. And they're always handy to have. The gauze rolls, or we call them curlet. It's just that it looks like an ace wrap, but it's mesh gauze. And you use that to go around the wound to hold down like an abdominal pad or whatever. And those are also 2-inch and 4-inch. That's all they make those is, 2-inch and 4-inch. But they also make two different types. They have that mesh kind, and then they have the soft. Because the softer ones, it's for people who have irritations on their skin to begin with. And a lot of people have to use those instead. Gauze pads, we have 2x2s, just little tiny squares, 4x4s, this says 5x9, but I've never seen a 5x9, but they've got the 5x9 abdominal pads. They also have 8x10 abdominal pads. Those are good to have. If you need to clean a wound, or, you know, if you're profusely bleeding, whatever, they're good to have. Gloves, because of the day and age that we're in right now with everybody having latex allergies, maybe you can get the called nitrile gloves. They do make non-latex gloves. So they're better to have, because God forbid if you start doing something on somebody and they have a latex allergy, and you probably just killed them. So iodine and iodine swabs. I'm mortally allergic to iodine, so you will not catch me with with much iodine, if any, in my first aid bag. I do have the swabs, but I will wear 2 pair of gloves because of my allergies. insect stingery. They sell different types. They're in Dollar Tree sells it. Like six little tubes, and you pop it, and it's got a little Q-tip on the end of it. And those things work wonders. Moleskin, if you've been in the military, moleskin is your best friend. Especially if you get blisters on your heels, it's great. The usually people use it moleskin anyways on their feet. Sam splint, and a sam splint is that, well, you won't even get this stuff anyway, unless you go to an Army surplus store or a gun show or anything like that. They're moldable, so you can actually use it for anything, any type of injury. See, there's a thin little layer of metal in it with foam around it, and you can mold it. And it's pretty cool. Steri strips are important to have. You don't need like a 100 packs of them, but they come with, I think, 6 strips, and you can actually cut them in half. Steri strips are the same thing as butterfly stitches. Same principle. Like I said, sterile water, if you can find it, it's good to have. They also have sterile water in a spray can. It's a blue can. I got mine from Walmart. I paid a couple bucks for it. Same principle. It does the same thing. You know the little tubes the hospital uses when they irrigate crates, and they used to use it back in the, for nebulizer treatments? You can use the same thing. Those are just the same exact thing. Tape. There's different types of tape. There's metaphor tape, paper tape, silk tape, chip stick to everything, and you can't rip it off. But it's important to have different types of medical tape. And also Coban. If anyone's had blood work lately, you know that stretchy stuff that they wrap around your arm and it sticks to itself? That's also good to have too. Vaseline, you can either get in the little packet. Same thing as KY jelly. Or you could buy it in a little container, say a buck for it, anywhere. And those are good to have. So as far as medical equipment, if you go to the Red Cross, you could actually buy those little face masks to do CPR. And there's an adult one and a child one. And a pediatric one is inside the same container. It's a little packet. Comes a little red Ziploc pouch. I'll take pictures of this. If anybody wants to know what something looks like, hit me up. I'll take a picture of what I have and show you so you know where to find it. Eye wash is good to have. A pocket knife or any type of knife that you want to have. Safety pins, scissors, shears. They have the ones that the EMTs have? They're flat on the bottom. There's so many different types. Walmart sells them for $1. And they're a small pair. They work for basic stuff, but if you're in the medical profession now, you're going to have the big bad ones, that's $25 and $30 for a pair. But the good thing is, those things will go through hell and back, and they will last a lifetime, as long as you treat them right. Suction bulbs. The little snot things they use for babies.
Yeah.
When they can't breathe. Yeah, those are good to have too. The 30 ml syringes, there's no needle on them. You can get those little plastic ones. We use it for, I'm sure you guys have seen it when they go and flush your IVs. Those are pre-filled with saline. They also sell them empty. And the 30 ml ones, get those because those are good to flush your eyes, your ears. You can flush a wound. And they have syringes up to 100 ml. No, 60. Yeah, they're pretty big. A thermometer. I would get the oral thermometer, and you could get the one, the temporal ones, the other ones they just touch your head with. I get both types. And then there's also thermometers to do rectal temp. A rectal temp is the most accurate type you're going to get for temperature per head. In fact, if you want to play that game and have a rectal temp, but anywho, seizures. They make all different kinds. I'm sure that you can look in any woman's bathroom, you'll find a pair of seizures. But they make the really pointy ones. They make the ones with the flat edges. And they're for great for getting out splinters and shit like that. So for medication, Tylenol or acetaminophen, Rolaids, Tums, Benadryl, antifungal cream, aspirin, calamine lotion, like Mucinex, or if you don't want to get the Mucinex pills, you can also get the liquid cough medicine. But remember, if you get liquid, those do expire. Remember we talked about this, I don't last it before last. Your liquid gels and liquid medicines will expire. Also aspirin. I didn't know about aspirin. So watch your date on liquid medicine. So don't get giant drums of this shit. Just get an average-sized bottle, and it's good for, what, 1 or 2 years, usually, for cough medicines. Decongestant tablets, hydrocortisone. They make different strengths of the hydrocortisone. Ibuprofen. So here's it. Ibuprofen, Motrin, and Advil, same product. Different name. That's it. Laxatives. You could get Miralax. You could get Mad Citrate. Or you could get Dulcolax. Anything like that. Or you could get stool softeners. So Imodium. God forbid, you get the runs and you're out camping or wherever, you do not want to have severe diarrhea. Motion sickness tablets, Dramamine, Bonamine. And the thing about, I think it's the Dramamine, if you have vertigo, Dramamine is Meclizine, and that's what they give you for vertigo. So if you ever get into that situation where, you know, bad hangover feeling and the room is spinning and you're really dizzy and you're ready to puke your guts out, if you have vertigo, take some Dramamine because that does help. Nasal spray, you could get ocean spray. All it is saline. And if you're a little spray bottle, they have Afrin. If you get your medicated type, watch out, you could get a rebound effect and actually end up in a worse position than you were before you started. So read the directions on, like, Afrin and stuff like that, and Flonase, because you're only supposed to use it for, like, 7 days, I think, 3 to 7 days. So just watch out for that stuff. And also, you're going to want to make sure you have your prescription meds, always. Never leave home without them because you don't want to do that. Okay. So for a survival kit, we've gone over this 100 times. Depending on where you live, on your climate, and things like that will depend on what you have in your survival kit. People who live in South Florida do not need to have thermal blankets or winter clothes. Not in South Florida, you're actually most of Florida, you're not going to. So just be mindful of where you live and kind of do your survival kit for your car to go by where you live. So aluminum foil. Now, you don't have to have, you know, 100 yards of it. You could get a small roll of it. If you want, you could get a, I don't want to say a tackle box. Anything that's open, you probably could get a tackle box from the fishing department or whatever, or even a tote, a small tote, and put all of your emergency kit and keep it in your car or your truck or wherever. A blanket, it could be any type of blanket, like I said. A sheet, those thin little fleece ones, you know, that, you know, because if someone goes into shock, that's the biggest thing you're going to do is you're going to use that blanket for shock. But don't forget, if it rains, it can get cold. So if you're out and you get stuck, you'll have that blanket. The same thing with who's got the status?
It's me.
That's you? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Always trouble.
Yeah, I'm in a restroom and the fart stand's going.
Also, keep bottled water, but try to keep it out of the sun, because you don't want to keep bottled water in the sun. Now, this has a butane lighter. I guess you could keep, I mean, butane, you can refill it, or you could just get a little disposable one, whichever, you know, floats your boat. A compass is always good to have. A flint, and that's used to start fires. And those are good. They actually sell those flint sticks. Some of them has the matches. And I got some from a survivor. Who did I get it from? Not Amazon. It was a prepper guide. And I went on there and had this little kit. And it's got all of that stuff in it. The flint stick matches, fishing line, a couple hooks, little things like that. And those are good to have, too. Flashlight and extra batteries. Batteries. I can never say it enough about having batteries. You can have something else that's good to have in the car. Snacks, like peanut butter crackers, power bars. Granola bars or granola itself. Things like that that's not going to go bad by sitting in your car. You don't want to keep canned goods in there, really, because if you live where it's really hot, you don't want them to get hot, or if you don't want them to freeze either. This doesn't have a GPS, but if you got a phone, you got GPS.
No.
The only thing is, I was just going to say that. Now, There are some places, like, I have no signal. If you're out in the middle of the boonies, you're not going to have signal. Even if, I'm just going to say this, like, if there's an EMP ever, there goes all electronic devices. Okay. So that's why I stood off of a map book. An up-to-date map book, I should say. But if you live in some state, you can't get GPS or phone signal in the mountains or out in the middle of nowhere. You get nothing. So that's why you shouldn't be so reliant completely on electronics, because you may not always have it. Insect repellent. Let's see. I thought this said a malfunction tool. I'm like, what in the hell is a malfunction tool? It's a multifunction tool, a.k.a. Swiss Army knife. They got some that's got everything. Scissors, tweezers, a knife, a spoon, a fork, a bottle opener. I mean, it's got everything. And they always sell different sizes. A map, like I and said.
Even if you live in South Florida, a lot of times carrying a blanket in case you pull over and you see someone in shock. So that's not a bad idea. You don't need a blanket in South Florida for thermal issues, but you might could use it for shock.
Yeah. Now, with those little thin, you know what I'm talking about? The little, they look like astronaut.
Aluminum thermal blankets.
Do they even work for shock? do they work for shock? If someone's in shock, would that even work?
Yeah, well, yeah. The whole thing about the blanket is security, and you also want to increase the body's temperature, because when you go into shock, you kind of get a little hypothermic.
Yeah.
I mean, notice how you start shaking and you got chills. Have you ever been in shock? You know, sometimes you start shaking and you got chills, and that's your parasympathetic fight or flight. But the blanket, yeah, well, I mean, but you can also get it just from being in a very traumatic accident.
Oh,
and you don't know a lot of times if you are bleeding, if you've been in an accident, it could be internal. But the whole thing, shock isn't always associated with bleeding. You know, hemorrhagic shock, yes, but there's other shock as far as the autonomic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. So the blanket, it provides first a patient at the mind a sense of security because they feel encompassed in the womb. And then second of all, any kind of like tremors or shaking, I think it's a lot more psychological when it comes to giving a person a blanket who might be in shock.
Yeah, that's like if you watch every movie you watch, if there's a disaster, that's the first thing they do is put a blanket
mm-hmm.
around the person.
Yep.
No matter what. But in your warmer climates, like I was saying, you want to need those, like the little throw blankets that people have on their couches all the time. That's pretty much, you know, for like warmer weather.
What's fascinating about that is most BLS courses, basic life-saving courses and CPR courses, they don't teach that anymore.
No. They'll teach the hell out of some CPR, and that's it.
Yep.
I have yet to find a basic first aid class.
Yeah. They teach you how to suck and blow and how to use a dental dam, but that's about it.
Yeah, they really need to get back into teaching basic first aid. And if you can't get to a basic first aid class, buy you these little books. It's a little flip book. I got mine from Barnes & Noble, and they're washable. They're you know, they're waterproof, and flip through it. And YouTube. You can find it on YouTube if you want to know how to do it.
You can get ACLS certification online.
Really? I know you can get online, but I don't know about YouTube. But yeah, you know what was weird is I did my ACLS. I did it by accident. I did the wrong one. And my job wouldn't take it because it wasn't BLS. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah. That's true. It's not the same thing.
But it's advanced. Why wouldn't you take advanced over basic?
Well, it's only cardiac life support, right?
What, the BLS?
Basic life saving is more CPR and first aid. BLS is during first aid, and you don't get the CPR and the first aid in the ACLS because you get the cardiac life support as far as pushing medications.
Oh, hell, the ACLS that I took, it was everything. I'm like,
yeah,
And
some courses will give you your ACLS plus your BLS as well. And, well, for the hospitals that I have privilege in, I have to have very specific training. It has to come from the American Heart Association. So all these other guys online that are teaching these things, they won't accept. So it has to be AHA. And it has to have, even if you do it online, you still have to do the physical in-person component of it. So you have to do your online class and then go and meet somebody to do the actual.
A lot of places will not accept the American Red Cross.
No, not American Red Cross, just the AHA.
Which at the end of the year, you're doing the same exact thing. But they don't like the Red Cross. My boss took my Red Cross, and she said, once it expires, then I have to go with the American Heart Association. But yeah, you do with the Red Cross, you do your test part online. You print out your certificate that you pass, and then you go to the class and they do the hands-on. But there's no first aid. They don't do first aid anymore.
For BLS? Or just for CPR?
They don't do first aid anymore.
They're supposed to do first aid for BLS, including CPR, but CPR by itself for children and adults, that's, you know, they don't have to include the first aid for CPR, but for BLS, they're supposed to have a section on first aid.
No, yeah, that's true. They are. They do the Heimlich, and that's it.
The Heimlich.
That's all they did. The Heimlich, that's all they did.
Yeah, you lick the hiney and they spit it out, right?
Yeah.
Right, Lorna?
So anyway.
Yeah.
Have plastic bags. Like the Glad bags, you know, your sealable, like Ziploc bags. You could get the gallon size are pretty good to have, but you could get whatever size you want, but the gallon size are going to be, you know, good for mat, paperwork, anything like that that you want to keep. God, it's almost 80 degrees in the house. I can't believe it's 85 today.
It's going to be 100 degrees tomorrow here in South Texas.
Oh, you keep it there.
Yeah, right. But we have a thunderstorm right now. I'm sitting outside. It's nice and fresh and a little rain coming down. But, Jesus,
we were supposed to get severe thunderstorms here with possibility of F2 tornadoes, but we didn't get shit. We got
wind
kicking around our window. Oh, I know. I don't mind the rain, though. We need the rain, just not the tornadoes. Oh,
you know how they used to, you know how they used to recommend during a tornado you get in a bathtub and you put a like a mattress on top?
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't apply anymore because most bathtubs now are made out of plastic or some PVC. That was when they had the steel bathtubs.
The cast iron.
Yeah. And then they say stand in the doorway, which is supposedly the strongest. Now the materials aren't the same. So I don't even know if those are even recommended anymore during a tornado.
Now a stand in the room in the middle of your house, a room that has no windows.
Okay.
I have a hallway.
I do know that. I do know if you have like a ditch, they say lay in a ditch because the tornado will pass over the ditch and any flying debris should fly over the ditch. Like if you're in a gully.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, a drainage ditch or something like that. But if it's raining and flooding, you can't lay in a ditch, obviously. So.
Now, if you get those big, you know, the big, huge storm drains, you can get in one of those where it's not flooding also, if it's not flooding, those are good to be in as well.
They don't recommend under bridges. I think because you can get, like, debris and stuff like that flying up inside there.
You get
Even
you get
up in the top,
you're saying you get sucked out.
Oh, okay, you get sucked out. But yeah, I think if a tornado was coming my way, I would want to be in a ditch instead of in a house or under a bridge or something. But
yeah, and I don't like the whole idea of being in your basement. I'm like, screw that.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
No.
The house is gonna crash down on top of you.
Now, that's why people have storm shelters, because that way it's just a hole in the ground with the, you know, and that's the best
thing. Reinforced.
Huh?
Yeah, reinforced and separated from the house.
Yeah. Here in Kansas, they actually have storm shelters that, especially for people who live at mobile home parks. They have individual storm shelters, and they have one big one in the middle. And, yeah, I mean, those are pretty good to get, and you have to go, you know. But, the last thing is also a whistle. And those are good to have. If you can't yell or whatever, and you're out in the woods or in the mountains or whatever, and you get lost, you can only throw the whistle, and hopefully somebody hears you. I don't know if any of you guys have ever been on the Appalachian Trail, but going through Virginia and West Virginia, the park rangers, they have designated trails that they have to walk every day. Like, parts of the app, like at the there's the campground, and then there's this little pull off and you can go. Each park ranger has to walk like 5 miles, and then they'll stop at their stopping point, and then the next one will go down. You know, so there's always going to be a park ranger on the Appalachian Trail because of emergencies and things like that, which is not a bad thing to have. I think they started that back when that guy, remember, Bobby, I don't know if you remember the guy that was going around killing the hikers on the Appalachian Trail a couple years ago?
That was long ago, I don't think, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was just a couple years ago.
But I think that's when they, I don't know, I mean, that's what someone, one of the rangers told me, but after some incidents like that, they started having them walk the trail. It's also good if you get lost. And then they'll give you general information if you want to know. And because some people are just too white for their own good. Yes, I said white. Because white people do stupid shit, like go poke a bear. You know, pet the murder kitty, you know, the bobcat and whatnot. And so they'll tell you where not to go because there was a fighting. And so, yeah, that's the other reason why they go out, too. On to the next, I think it's the last section of this, a disaster supply kit. I know we've gone over this over and over and over again, and we're going to keep going over and over and over again until, you know, you remember it all.
Can't
tell
you
that
too much.
Huh?
You can't go over that too much. You can't never go over that too much. You got pictures?
No, I know you can't. I have a checklist. There's a checklist, and yes, there's pictures in this book. So, Lorna, it's a really good book for you to have. 3 days supply of water. I don't know. I would prefer. I don't know. Honestly, I've got like 5 cases of water. And that's
it's a gallon per person per day, right? It's a gallon per person per day. And that's just drinking water. That's drinking water that's not non-potable. You need water for like, toiletries and things like that. But just drinking water should be a gallon per person per day.
Yeah. Now, don't forget your pets will need water. You'll need water to cook with. Now, see, we had because something happened at the water plant or the pipe, and something happened with the pressure, and it caused bacteria to build up. So we had a boil water thing for like 4 days. And having 5 cases of water came in handy. Trust me, anything can happen like that. You could have a bad storm, hurricane, tornado, blizzard, I don't care, anything, earthquake, volcano eruption, but I don't think we have any, well, we do have a couple here in America, but. And another thing you can also do, if you lose your water, get clean coats, and when it rains, just put them outside, and you fill up with rainwater, and you can use that to bathe with, flush the toilets, and your pets need to drink that water. I mean, they lick their butt, so I don't think they really care. My dogs will drink pond water, you name it. My dogs are giving me this go to hell look right now. Let's see. It's just a 3-day food, a supply of food per person that won't spoil, which is why we've always talked about dry goods, the little packets of tuna or packets of chicken. I switched from buying the cans because once the can gets scented, you have to worry about the seal and all that crap. So that's why I buy the little pouches. And you don't need a can opener. So
I like the pouches better, man. They taste better.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, they don't taste like aluminum or tin.
Right.
They taste completely different. And so
and I like the albacore a lot better. I like the albacore flavor better. The albacore.
Yeah. I buy the cracked pepper, salt and pepper one. It's got a little kind of pepper in it. You wouldn't know it if you saw me because I'm just,
If you can save your money a little bit at a time, best thing you can do is buy a generator and have a store of, about 5 to 10 gallons of gasoline when you're seeing maybe an approaching storm or something like that. If the storm approaches and passes and there's nothing where you don't need to use the generator, then use the gasoline in your vehicle and say that don't store the gasoline because the gasoline can, I guess, get water in it over time or something like that. There's some thing I've heard of bad gas. So I'm kind of...
Yeah, condensation can build up in it.
Yeah,
so
you don't want to leave a lot of... Unless you definitely have like an airproof, like one of those 5-gallon metal containers that you can store in. The other option as well is if you're thinking about this, save up your money a little bit at a time and buy some solar power batteries that you can, like a 12-volt battery that can be recharged with the solar power, couple of them, and you can use power inverters. Just plug them up to that. So it worked for me really good when we had a hurricane here in South Texas. We were out of power for a week, but I had a generator that ran on gasoline, and I had some power inverters. I had to run off of my vehicle battery, but I had gasoline. Well, all the gas places shut down because there was no electricity. They couldn't pump gas, and there was no electricity. And a lot of people's food were going bad, but I was able to run my refrigerator, freezer off of my generator, run my lights, and off of the generator or the power inverter from my vehicle. And like you said, you can catch rainwater, and you can hang it up in the sunlight, and you can actually take a hot shower. It's amazing.
Yep.
And rainwater.
Oh, I do that camping.
Yeah, if you can catch the rainwater, if you're not a high pollution area, it's actually drinkable because it's sterile. You know, it's already been evaporated and what you call sent through the distillation process of the cloud. The cloud gets heavy and the water drops out of the cloud. Unless the cloud is storing a lot of pollution, you can't drink the rainwater. Just don't drink the groundwater.
We've been having a lot of acid rain lately here in Kansas. It stormed like crazy. And the next day, everybody had this brown stuff all over their cars. And I'm it just rained. And it looked like, if you get water drops and how they'll do a water stain, that's what it did, but it was brown. And I'm like, pollen's green, for the most part, green and yellow. This stuff is brown. Come to find out, we've been having a lot of acid rain.
Oh,
watch out. Yeah. Watch out, like you said, watch out for the... Because you don't want your pets to drink acid rain. That's not cool.
And then what you can do with that in an emergency is you can take sodium bicarbonate, which is Alka-Seltzer, and drop it in the water, and it's going to be salty tasting, but it will neutralize the acid in it.
Oh, okay.
In an emergency.
I also have chlorine tablets, too.
Yeah, chlorine tablets.
You can sure.
But chlorine doesn't necessarily neutralize the acid like the sodium bicarbonate does.
Oh,
or
no,
just regular,
like for regular, yeah, oh, regular
yeah.
water if you want to purify. You can
yeah,
also
right.
use bleach, but it can't be the concentrated bleach. It's got to be regular bleach. Can't be scented. Somebody actually had that video, how to sterilize 4 gallons of water. He just somebody dropped the bleach. You shake it up, you let it settle, and you pour, and you get all kinds of weird stuff, and it was pretty cool to watch. But like I said, you can YouTube any of this.
Well, the other option is if you just boil it.
True. Boil the hell out of it.
Water.
Oh, also
yeah,
life straw.
Mm-hmm.
I got a life straw. I got 2 life straws. I got it from Walmart from the fishing in the fishing section. That's where I got mine. And
yep.
they're really good. Let's see.
Oh, look at that. See that cloud?
Yeah.
That's the cumulative number.
Also, having something that you can keep is clean socks, underwear, you know, personal hygiene, because you don't want, like, if you get soaking wet, you don't want to have soaking wet socks. Keep like, one or two T-shirts. You know, whatever in your car, you know, because it's always important to have those. Documents. If you want to keep, like I said, keep them in Ziploc bags, the gallon bags, and those are really good to keep. They actually make waterproof boxes. They come in different sizes. And as a matter of fact, I put my first aid supplies in the waterproof boxes in my medic bag. So that way I can pull the little case out, and if my bag gets wet, everything inside of it does not get wet. So, which is a real helpful thing. Also, don't forget your pet.
You know,
you
will definitely need something to eat in the event of an emergency.
Yeah,
you
can get those little 1, 2, 3 pound bags of dog food, put it in your car, dog treats, whatever. It was a lifesaver for me when we drove to Tennessee. And we left all their food here at the house. We just bought a little 1-pound, 2-pound bag. And that's what we fed them all, you know. But it's really good to have dog food.
And you can eat the dog food, too, in emergency.
Yeah, if you want to go that route. For children or infants, you could keep. I wouldn't suggest keeping liquid formula.
You can't eat
powder.
The children and the infants, though. Come on, Colonel.
I know that. I know that. You don't want to do that. Keep powdered formula instead of canned formula. You don't want to just powder formula. All you need is the water. You could do the packets of baby food instead of the jars. Just also, you don't want to make it so heavy if you have to carry it. So that's the other thing. Let's see. Oh, and also for your pet, make sure you have their dog tag, their shot record, a harness, and a spare leash for them, because it's important we don't forget them too. If they're on medication, bring their medication. The one thing that I did notice that helps my dogs, because I have high stress dogs for some reason, I don't know why, I give my dogs 1 Benadryl. Plus, I already went to my vet for them. So, dogs, and it goes by weight. So, my dogs weigh like 47 pounds, 55, and I could give them 1 or 2 Benadryl, which I only give them 1. So, when we have really bad thunderstorms, my son's dog freaks out. He goes mental with the thunder and the lightning. So, I'll give him a Benadryl. Same thing with 4th of July, the fireworks. they live mental, and they don't like the loud noises. So it's important to keep Benadryl. Before you give it to your pet, ask a vet, and they'll tell you, it'll go by their weight, and things like that. Now, they also sell CBD gummies for pets. It does work. I believe that also goes by weight as well. So if you can, if your state allows you to buy them, then look into it if you don't mind. Make sure you have a water bowl and for your pets if you're out. Not necessarily for food, because you can dump the food on the floor, on the ground, and they'll eat it. So unless your pets are really particular. It's a 3-day supply of pet food, but I don't know. I like to keep at least 5 days. Let's see. Oh, a manual can opener. If you have, because if you have an electric can opener and you lose the power, well, you're SOL and you can't open up anything. A lot of products have the little tabs that you can pull and open it. Let's see.
All the house fails, a screwdriver and a hammer work.
Well, that's
or a butter knife.
Or a knife. You get a butcher knife, you slam it, you pound it in there, and then you use your hand to push it down even farther, and then you just, like, flick it, and it'll open up a can. You just have to watch out. You don't want to cut yourself. Yes, I've done that, too. a mild grease-cutting dishwashing liquid. Just if you're anywhere, you know, wherever you're at, between bathe your animals, how you can bathe yourself with it, too. Always keep a list of emergency phone numbers for a vet, your doctor, your family, anybody that you may need to use a call for an emergency. Also, if you're going to go hiking, camping, anywhere outdoors, let somebody know where you're going and where you're planning on being, because that way if you don't, and if you're going to be gone just, I don't think you're gone 2 days, and you're supposed to check in with your family at night or in the morning or whatever, and you don't check in, you'll know where your estimated destination is. Just say, for instance, you're walking the Appalachian Trail, which goes from West Virginia all the way into Tennessee. And if you're going to be walking it and you check in every day, there are places along that trail that you have no signal. So make sure you check in with somebody. Also, if you go to on federal land or state land, I do believe if you're going to be hiking or backpacking, you do have to have a permit, and you do have to check in with them so they'll know where you're at along the way. I do know they have that there. I don't know about all the other states. Okay. Let's see. Let's go into what's next. Medical emergencies. I'm going to skip to CPR because it's kind of hard to talk about do CPR on the air. Actually, if you want to learn it, you can actually, like you said, you can YouTube it, you can go online, and you can watch videos and do it that way, or go to your local fire department. I don't know about police department.
Is it 15 and 2 or 30 and 2, or do you know what the latest is?
It's
on
30
that?
And 2. It's 30 and 2. See, it was 15 and 2, or 15 and 1, and then it went to 15 and 2, and then 30 and 2, and then 30, it's back, but it's back to 30 and 2. And now,
for children?
Well, if you have for one person or two people, it's the 15 and 1. But like I said, it depends on the state. I don't know why they keep changing it. But they said if you are not comfortable with doing rescue breathing, to do just 100 chest compressions.
Wow.
And just keep the heart pumping. So, and they actually teach you that now, too.
That's
bad. And it's just you keep a steady 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. And you, and then when you go to switch, if you happen to have somebody else that comes up, you, when you talk, so say like, say you get to 25 and switch, and you have to keep within that rhythm to switch to the next person. So, but like I said, it's a lot easier if you just watch the video. I really don't want to, it's hard to explain.
I thought you
weren't going to
talk about CPR. What are you doing?
I'm not going through the whole thing. I'm just saying in general, it's better to watch it.
How's your brother doing?
Over there. Huh?
How's your brother doing?
The palliative chemo they're doing is once every 3.5 weeks. And it's not meant to do anything else other than hopefully keep the tumor from growing. It's already the size of 2 tennis balls. And his lab work looked good. His Coumadin's within therapeutic level. They're giving him Keytruda before the chemo. He just has a hard time breathing. You know, it's because how big that tumor is. And so they have him on oxygen. They have him on morphine and oxy. Well, he's always in pain. He's in constant pain. So they still say it's about 6 months, maybe a year.
Well, at least he's trying. You know, at least he's trying. He's fighting it. And it's not just sent to hospital to waste away.
He's on. Well, he does have hospice, but he actually has palliative care. Tennessee does a different.
Chemo, that doesn't make sense.
It's called palliative chemo. It's not it's not meant to stop the cancer. It's not going to cure it. All it's doing is helping control the symptoms of the cancer. It hasn't metastasized, which is a blessing, and we're amazed that it hasn't spread. It just got larger. It's still encapsulated in that one spot. Unfortunately, it happens to be sitting right between his lungs. So, his oxygen's in the mid-80s to the 90s. It's up, and then it'll go up, and he gets on his oxygen. He's as hateful as ever. So, he got his appetite back, so he's able to eat the... His esophagus that got burnt during the radiation, it's now improved where he can actually eat now. So, but he does sleep a lot. That's the only thing. He does sleep a lot. Probably. So he gets used to it. But, no, he's at home. The room that we cleaned out, me and my son and my oldest, they actually ended up throwing out even more stuff out of that room, and he's got his hospital bed, his oxygen, his bedside table, and all of that downstairs. He's going to have home health or the palliative nursing come in and then physical therapy to help get him, because he's really weak. You know, he's not giving up, and that's good. He's not. He's not giving up. But it's still a hard road to go. I don't know if you heard what if I would have been there, I would have bit slapped the nurse. I was so appalled. She told my mom that she goes, you know, this isn't going to end well for your son. Seriously? I don't care. It's not going to end well for him. You don't tell a parent that.
No,
ever.
That's not mind, body, and soul. What the hell is this? She should lose her license or something like that.
that's what I said. I'm like, who was it? I will make a complaint with the state with that heifer. And she's like, I can't remember. She was the nurse that was there the last day before he got discharged. So I'm like, okay, I will find out. I am so pissed about that. And my youngest brother, he could not believe it. And that sent her into a whole other whirlwind of bawling. I mean, she was a mess. I'm like, wow.
Well, you know, it was a poor choice of words. And maybe she had like her thoughts were maybe just like, you know, to tell the parents the real situation, but she should have used a different set of words. And that's the thing. It's really hurtful.
Here's the thing.
His chances are.
We don't want to sugarcoat it.
Yeah, but she definitely wasn't sugarcoating it. Very blunt.
You know, her better choice of words would have been, he's going to have a long road to go. It's going to be rough, but if he fights, he might be, you know, whatever. It's not going to end well. Mike, you really? I mean, come on. I just told one of my patients now, she's been told by her primary care doctor that she only has lung problems. She's got stage 3 kidney disease. And told her that there's nothing wrong with her kidney. I'm like, are you? And so I told her, and I had to break it to her. And I'm like, look, I've been fighting this because we can't figure out why she can't go to the bathroom. And they did a bladder scan. Her bladder came up empty. Her UA came up negative. All of these reasons, and she's not peeing, about 500 mL a day to 750. Her doctor says, oh, that's plenty. For food.
But is she hydronephrotic or her kidneys like swelling up?
Well, see, that's just it. Her doctor won't do shit because her doctor said there's nothing wrong with her kidneys. She's got one.
You know,
she had kidney cancer, and they had to remove her left kidney. Now she has only her right kidney, and she's in chronic pain in her kidneys. She goes, well, she needs to do intermittent fasting. I said, she weighs 300 pounds. How is she going to do that? And so I told her, I said, I'm telling you, sometimes I deal with so many stupid people, and I'm like, I just shake my head. And so, but yeah, that's the battle I'm dealing with. Until the 22nd, and then I'm going to a whole new hospice. And I feel bad, but I told her, I said, I can't tell you where I'm going. All I can say is if you're not happy staying with our company, you can always go there and just say, hey, it's Tim, a nurse here, and that's all I can tell you because... You know, and that's the reason why I have a good rapport with my patients, because I'll take time and listen to them. Hey, this isn't working. This isn't working. And I'll go down the line, and we'll figure it out together. You know, and that's all it takes.
Yep,
and that's putting her on a renal diet.
And sometimes it just takes a different perspective, you know. You can't just look at the middle, the books or the labs. You got to look at the person, you know. That's where a lot of doctors go.
True. And part of the reason why I'm leaving the company that I'm leaving is because the owner, she's had the company for 30 years. I don't know how long she's been an RN. I think she's only been an RN for like 20 years. I asked her about this particular patient, and she looked at me dead face, looked at me, and she says, why does she need to know? She's on hospice.
A lot of business people, especially nursing homes and maybe like a nurse owned hospice. You got to think about that. All they're looking at is
the insurance and the dollar signs.
Oh, yeah.
So, for example, if you get a Medicaid state insurance or even one of the there's insurance for people locally that are indigent, we call indigent insurance, doctors will do the very bare minimum and waste a very bare minimum amount of time with that patient because they're only getting $15 for that visit. And so a nurse-owned hospice, all that lady gives a shit about is her paycheck.
Well, see, here's what I found out. One of my patients told me, she said, I don't know where she gets this whole budget. Every hospice patient that we have, she gets $6,000 a month per patient. When they die, she gets $30,000 per patient.
And that's the thing, because they even in the nursing homes, patients who are like abandoned, you know how sometimes patients, no family comes to visit them, there's nobody who has, that the nursing home actually ends up becoming what they call the next of kin as far as inheriting everything that patient has.
Yep.
And a lot of those patients in nursing homes, some of them are very well off, and the nursing homes ends up getting their Social Security, their insurance, and any kind of benefits. You know, it's unfair. It's unfair, but it happens.
Oh, yeah. And so
sign over your rights. Yeah.
With hospice, some is 6 months or less. Ours is a year or less. We've had some that was a year and a half because they continue, you know, at one point they started to decline rapidly. In the last month, five of my patients have passed. And she gets $30,000 a pop, each one that dies, $30,000. And she wants to cry budget cuts. And like, I just, you know, that's all she cares about. And it's like, Medicaid, Medicare, they pay for, all we do is we pay for the bare minimum, like comfort meds, the pain meds, nausea meds, stool softeners, things like that. That's all we pay for. Their insurance will pay for the rest of their medication. And it's like, I just can't believe that that's all they see are dollar signs, you know. And she was crying because we had 30 hospice patients, and then five of mine died, unfortunately.
You know, this is sad, but some hospice will not accept a long-term hospice patient, somebody with a slow-growing, inoperable cancer that nobody can do anything about. If that person's going to be in hospice more than 3 months, they don't want them. And if a patient's been in hospice more than 3 months, you have to recertify with your primary to get continued hospice care. So hospice just wants those patients to die fast. Faster the better for them. That's what I was trying to explain to her.
For some reason, it looks bad if your patients live too long. I'm like, well, I'm sorry.
It does.
And that's why it balances out when you get these, I think the shortest hospice person we had was 3 days. The longest was a year and a half.
Well, I've had patients that were recommended for hospice, but they didn't actually get admitted to hospice for 2 or 3 months because they didn't have insurance, and it took that long to get that emergency insurance set up, and hospice wouldn't take them on a cash basis.
Now, the new hospice company that I'm going to is actually in Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Kansas, I'm not sure. It's like in 7 states. They actually accept homeless patients for hospice.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, but they probably have a government contract. Yeah, they probably get something from the government for that. If they can certify that they're truly homeless.
Oh, yeah. We have, they probably stay at the homeless shelter because we have one here. It's run by the church. It's more like it's a religious organization. It's a Union Mission. And they actually get government funding because they have a hospital wing.
Okay, well, we're talking shop, and Lorna's not in the medical field, so she probably doesn't want to hear this shit.
But I
we
think
we can talk on the side,
really
right?
Yeah.
But one of the points of having a conversation like this, Lorna, is for the average non-medical professional person or person to realize that here in the United States, medicine is a privilege, it's not a right. You're not entitled to it. You have to pay for it.
It's a
business.
But that's just it. People say it's a right. No, it's not.
You don't have
a
right.
No, it's not.
Nope.
The only right that we have is to breathe.
No, the only right
you
have is
to breathe.
Your right is having access to health care. You have access, but you may not be able to afford it.
Now, there's indigent care at a lot of hospitals. Like here in Wichita, we have two clinics for those who are below the poverty level, who cannot get Medicaid or Medicare. And we have mostly immigrants, like migrant workers. We have a lot of Asians, a large Asian population that goes to these two clinics, a lot of Hispanics, they go there because they have no insurance. They're not illegal, but they're legal citizens, but they still don't have insurance, and so they go to these three clinics. So, you know, people do have access to medical care, mobile med.
But a lot of people, they don't have insurance, and yet they still don't qualify for the indigent care as well. And so now they're going to pay cash, and there's a lot of medical doctors who refuse to take cash. They want insurance on it. It is guaranteed.
The cash is
more reportable.
What I don't get is people want to piss them on about all these insurance companies, which they didn't charge for damn much money. But see, here's what happens. You get these people who go to a doctor and something happens. They sue the doctor. Then their malpractice insurance goes up. And then that causes everything else to go up. And that's why health insurance is so damn expensive. That's why doctors only take certain insurance companies.
Yep. Well, and also insurance companies make it difficult because they want the doctor to be in network with them. And there's doctors that are not in network with certain insurance companies because they don't want to pay extra fees. Sometimes
yeah.
insurance companies
now, do you have
charge
a limit?
The doctor.
Do you have a limit on how many Medicare patients you can take?
Nope. There's no limit.
Our hospice doctor that we have, he has his own practice with another doctor, and he is capped because he has too many Medicare patients.
He wants to go in early because
he's
under.
Huh? He can't take any more Medicare patients.
Just with the radio. Those are bad. I'll show you something. Click on my Facebook.
What was it?
If you find yourself without health insurance, there's always, like, if you're in a catastrophic issue, there are programs, like, just say if you don't have health insurance, like my brother got cancer, has no health insurance. You can actually go to the American Cancer Society and they do have programs for people to help pay for treatment and things
There are programs out there. There's also emergency Medicaid for situations like that too. Because once you get some kind of life-threatening illness like that, you can't work anymore, obviously. But then it takes a couple months to kick in.
And then you can't get, and here's the thing, if you get something like cancer or ALS or whatever, you can't get life insurance. From there on out, the only thing you can get, honestly, is burial insurance.
Only like $2,000, and it doesn't cover a burial. It only covers a cremation, basically.
True. But like I said, there's, and then like for prescriptions,
a lot of
people do not have prescription coverage. GoodRx, you go on your phone, your app store, or your Google, whatever phone you have. It's called GoodRx. You download it, and anytime you have a prescription, you put it in, and it'll tell you every single pharmacy around you and how much it costs. And the other
you don't have to download the app. You can access it just online too. You can go to just goodrx.com.
Really?
You don't have to have the app.
You're supposed to get a number with every prescription.
You can get a coupon. You can get a coupon from the local stores and all that. It'll show you where the cheapest price is for the medication. And the other thing is a lot of times when they give you a coupon on GoodRx, you go to that pharmacy, they'll even discount it more.
Yeah.
For example, our local convenience, our local shopping store that has a pharmacy here, it's called HEB. And it's kind of like South Texas oriented. That'd be like a Piggly Wiggly in the South, or something like that. But they have pharmacies in them, and so I'll get the coupon off of the GoodRx for that HEB, and I'll take it there. And every single time I've done that, the pharmacist says, "Our price is even cheaper than that." So a lot of times you show them a coupon, but then they'll give you a better price. But you can get them right off of GoodRx. You don't have to have the app. You can go to www.goodrx.com, and you can do everything just online instead of downloading the app. But you can download the app, too, if you're a frequent flyer.
You could show it to them. Because they have to get money from – and so here's the thing. When my oldest daughter had to have seizure medication, when I got out of the military, I lost my insurance coverage. Because you only have it for so long. And so she was having seizures. And so she was taking expensive seizure medication. And I couldn't afford $400 a month for her medication. So we actually went to the manufacturer, like GlaxoSmithKline, and they actually have an application you fill out, and you have to show that you have no health insurance, no prescription coverage, or anything like that, and you can get their
every drug manufacturer has that, and if you qualify, it's a year free of medication.
Oh, we had to pay like $20 a month for her seizure medicine.
You can get coupons too, a lot of times your county health department will have a representative who will go and actually do the legwork for you to try to get their patients who need medications free medication.
Yeah,
they can get them free, and then the patient themselves can go directly and get discounted medications. So your county can get it for you for free for an entire year.
That's not bad. But you know what? I would have paid, I had no problem paying $20 a month because it was a $400 medication. Huh. $20, $400. I ain't going to complain. Well, it was also because I had an income. That was the other thing. That's why she couldn't get it for free. She was under 21, and that's why she was still under my thing. But we have a thing called Mobile Med, and it's a doctor, and they have a big, huge. It's like a not a tractor trailer, but you have to. It's a fifth wheel, and it's actually a mini doctor's office and pharmacy. And they go around to the different communities, and they will take care of the person for anyone who doesn't have any insurance cover or prescription coverage, and they get their medicine for free. And that's what we have here. I've never seen that before, which I think is amazing.
Well, we have a community indigent clinic where pharmacies drug reps come and they give us their samples and donations, and local doctors give the clinic their samples and the drug donations. And when you come in and you have no insurance and no money to pay for your medicine, they have a stock of medications that they give you when you go see the doctor there.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh,
and
yeah, them drug reps, those are tons of samples.
Some places are allowed to use expired medications in that situation as well, especially the indigent clinics. They will use expired medications, but there's a few you can't use, like aspirin. We were talking about that.
Yeah.
Aspirin will expire.
Now,
nitroglycerin, things like
now,
that.
Now, here's what irritates me when people say, well, I don't have health insurance, and why can't we have free medical like Canada and Ireland or the UK? Because
socialized
those countries
medicine.
Don't have as many people. So we have more people than they do. You might be lucky if there's 15 million people in the UK. And here's the thing about the UK, because I learned this when I was staying over there. You get taxed in your paycheck. You pay a flat tax. It's like 5%, 10%, actually more than it is. I guess it depends on your job. You don't need health insurance. You go to the doctor. You're sick, you go to the doctor, you go. If you get a prescription, you go to the pharmacy and pick up your medication. And so everybody's taking care of it. Like I said, there's what, 15, 20 million people in the UK? Maybe 20 million? We have what, 320 million people in America? What? It just wouldn't work. I mean, it's astronomical. But like we're saying, there's plenty of clinics that you can find. You just have to be willing to do the legwork.
With tattoos.
To find it. That's the only thing.
Oh, I believe it. I'm
going to
log into that link right now.
Such an ass, Bobby.
Is that Bobby live, Phil?
Yeah, it came outside. You can hear the laugh from miles away.
How's my girlfriend?
She's waiting for you, buddy. Come on. Send her a bus ticket. You can put her up at the local Holiday Inn.
Now she can stay with me.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, get it done, man. Well, I need to break. This is the last time we went out together to a little nightclub. This guy offered to buy her some drinks. I was like, yeah, man, let him buy all your drinks. Ask him to buy me one, too. How's Steph?
She's good.
Yeah, all good.
Working her ass off.
She puts up with his shit.
Yeah,
she's a hard-working girl. Well, she's got to channel that energy somewhere, right? At work, help.
Yep.
You know, she's in the medical field,
yeah,
right? Why isn't she on here?
instead of beating on Bobby, she takes it out on.
Stephanie hardly ever gets on here. Yeah, I thought she was in the medical field. I thought she would be, this would be a good platform for her to release her frustrations, right?
Yeah, y'all got to get on her about it.
She's a medical transcriptionist, right?
She's a medical biller now.
Oh. Yeah, I told that new job I just had. I went for the interview on Thursday, and then Friday morning they called me and said, oh, my God, we love you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, I don't care how much smoke you're blowing up my ass. I really don't care. It's nice for someone to say, oh, we love you. You know, we think you'd be a great fit. They asked me,
how many personalities you had?
What do you do? Yeah, they didn't ask me that, and I'm not going to tell them, okay? but they asked me what I did in my free time. I said, well, what free time? I told them I have two blog talk radio shows that I do, and then we have three others. No, two. You know, three others. And she's like, wow. I'm like, yeah, well, I can't get onto them all and do that anymore what I was doing. But I'm trying to spread the word and getting as many people. A lot of my patients, I guess they started calling or listening to the show to Tuesday.
Oh, good.
And I don't know how many. None of them called in because I would have told you. But no, they listen. They listen.
You should have told them the truth. You lied. You should have told them the truth. You're the pole cleaner at the local gentleman's club.
Yeah. I told them. Some of my patients have a sense of humor, and that I could talk about the 10 personality thing, and they laugh. They think it's funny. And as a matter of fact, somebody asked me about Karen. I'm like, nah, she's gone. She became too much of a bitch, and I stuffed her in the trunk of my car. And so I only got 9 now. I only have 9. You pick.
Hey, so another question, just a random thought. Last time I was on, you had one of the other show hosts whose house had burned down. How's that guy faring along?
Randy? Yeah, how is he doing?
He's still living at the campground.
Still struggling, huh?
Yeah.
They're rebuilding his house. Well, he said he did have insurance, so.
No, he didn't have insurance because the trailer was too old.
Yeah. Well, after a certain age, they won't let you have insurance. We need to go ahead and do, like I said, we need to do a GoFundMe for just instances like that, for catastrophic emergencies.
Well, I mean, that's just like trying to get everybody to, you know, pitch in on our page, and, you know, it just goes on deaf ears until something happens.
I know.
Well, maybe it's not deaf, Bobby. Maybe it's times are hard for a lot of people right now.
Fuel prices are super crazy.
But a lot of people, out of 700 people,
but listen to this: out of 700, over 700 people, if everybody put $1, that's $700 more that we can help people with.
That's true. You know, maybe you should have a around the clock fund that requests donations all the time and have like an emergency fund set up.
That's what we want to do.
Posting on our page.
The other thing is that a lot of people are gun shy about putting money into things like the GoFundMe or out there on the internet because they're just skeptical.
I usually send money to Bobby and he deals with it.
Yeah.
I don't do the
face. See, that's
exactly.
What I do.
I will
exactly.
Also not tell
But the thing,
I have a
but
$10
is,
month.
Take it
yeah,
it,
but the thing is we go through PayPal, and I got the business account, so it shows what we bring in, and we do not distribute it without having a meeting about it. So anytime anybody was to ask us, well, where's my money going and where's it at, I've got proof.
Yeah. I mean, and see, here's the thing, like
we are an
house,
we are
Morris House.
And we are an LLC. I'm trying to get us to become a 501c3.
Cool. Yeah, I'm just saying maybe that's why you're not getting a good response when you ask for the GoFundMe. I mean, something.
No, you know what? I don't doubt that. I don't doubt it at all.
No, I don't either.
If you set up a round the clock emergency relief fund for our, for our community, and then maybe even have a little document on your page that shows how much we've collected, how much we have available, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not sure.
Dude,
I'm not
I
really sure. I hate dealing with money, man. I hate dealing with money.
I do too, but
no,
I mean it's just a point that we've been doing this for over 3 years, and the only ones that have ever come up with money has been the officers.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
One
I
of
do
the,
it.
We have two other people that are just regular members that donate.
Mm-hmm. But you have
I do a $10 monthly
PayPal. You have 700 people following, right?
Yeah.
So what you said?
Most of them, we've already come to the conclusion that most of them are just here to be a part of a group that if something happens and we do something, then they can say, oh, well, I'm part of that defenders group.
Yeah. Okay.
And to find out information.
That's okay. Yeah, I
guess that's okay. Now, I don't have a problem with that. What I do have a problem with is the less amount of people that are participating in anything that we do.
I've noticed that we have a very, when I get on, for the medical, we have hit and miss as far as how many people get on that I'm hearing. I'm only hearing one or two people with us, and I'm just wondering why.
Right. It's
unless
always
there's
the
just
same
silent
people
in the
on
background.
Our show.
I wonder if it's silent people in the background. No,
it's always the same people that you hear every show. Now,
how do we market this show without being on?
This show goes nationwide and worldwide.
How do we market this, though?
And,
you know what I mean? So
I have a graph that tells me who's following, who downloads our shows, who listens to the show live.
Mm-hmm.
Because I even have a chat room in here, and I have one dedicated member that is on here every show.
Well, I'm wondering if
maybe
you need to start charging membership, then take some of that money.
Well, we tried all that. We tried all that.
But because of the...
We're willing to go down to like $5.
Well,
now when I did that meeting, the reason I got money out of everybody that showed up, $10 I think out of each of them.
Right, and see the other thing too, Phil. We had purchased a dozen knives, survival knives. With our logo inscribed on them, and sold them for $50. But again, the only people that actually purchased them was No, it was actually, I think out of all 12 knives, one knife went to just a regular member. All the rest were all of us officers that bought them.
So what's wrong, man?
I don't know. I've been trying to get people, because I know we got web designers in our group. We've got people that, you know, from all walks of life, yourself, you know, being a medical professional. We have professionals. We even have, you know, internet security people. But nobody is willing to step up and say, hey, I could do this for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe if you went this route, it might get people involved. See, we're not getting any feedback, no matter what we do.
Huh.
And I'm on all kinds of different...
Let me think about it and see what I can answer, what I can come up with, too, because with our company, we have all of that, but we have marketers who go out there and, you know, they bring in patients for us.
Right.
But they get a piece of the
pie,
obviously, you know. So.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. We do have experienced marketers in our group, but they're just sitting on the sidelines. They're not offering
mm-hmm.
their help. I mean,
nice.
You know, I've been
doing
this radio show since June 2019.
Oh, I remember. I remember you telling me about it.
And we started this group January of 2019.
How come we only have... When I call in, we only have Lorna and occasional hit and miss person that comes in.
I'm on all the time because I have no life.
Well, that must be nice, Lorna. You have no life and you're always on.
Lorna's our major ass pain.
Yeah, I'm here to be an ass pain, and I'm good at
Lorna,
it.
But see here.
Well, Lorna, I the only reason I get on here is because I look forward to flirting with you. You know that.
Oh.
Fuck up.
If I ever meet your old man, I expect to get a G.I. Jane 2.0 slap in the face.
You'd have to go through Ralph on that one.
Yeah, I don't have an old man.
Oh, he's a young man. Okay.
I don't have a young man either, and I don't have a middle man either.
He has a dog.
No man.
Okay.
Has a dog.
Well, if you call him the pool boy, that's okay with me. Or the gardener, whatever you call it. Flavor of the week. How's that?
Yeah.
But no, Bobby. You know what? We'll figure it out.
Let's do a Zoom meeting, guys, and do some brainstorming so we can actually see each other face to face. And
yeah,
I'm just calling in, and I don't even know what you guys look like. So I've seen you, Bobby.
I want to go camping now. Damn it!
Oh, you need to go camping now. You know survival skills.
Yeah.
Yeah, she knows how to hurt herself real fast.
Yeah,
so
but I know how to
went,
fix my
does.
I know
hey,
how
so
to fix my
went,
hurt.
If you went camping with your buddy and you woke up the next morning with like Vaseline in your certain area, would you tell anybody?
KY.
Would you tell anybody?
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
If you don't tell anybody, I want to go camping with you.
Yeah. Lorna's got a real close friend across the street. Oh, that's right. She moved in with Lorna now. She moved from here.
Oh.
No,
oh,
my camper
awesome.
Ain't big enough for your sugar, mama.
Yeah. Man, I'm all for that.
He is over there teepee creeping all the time.
So no,
that was you sneaking out of your trailer. You heard creak, creak, creak.
Whatever.
Just press the keyboard. That's your, I have a password. I just didn't put it in. Right after all of this, I probably would have put my password again.
All right. Yeah, maybe I can help you guys brainstorm a little bit on some ideas to increase the viewers and see what other, maybe I can offer something, maybe a little section in your show, Colonel, if you don't mind, where I can do some patient education on something, like one topic, like a 10-minute.
Oh, go right ahead.
Or something. And then figure out some way we can get more interest in maybe, you know, even though you have a nationwide show and you have a you know, some following, it's not growing to the point where there's, you know, because you're going to need money to just to for logistics stuff, you know.
You
right.
know, the
and,
other
and
thing
then,
is the time. Because the time of the
we
show.
We do have a store on our website.
I haven't even been to the website. And every single show that I've been on, Colonel, you've got to do some advertising. You let people know, hey, we have a website. Go to www whatever. And you can
we
find
do
our
that.
Website.
I'm on all the different platforms. The only thing
you haven't done it a single time I've been on this show. You haven't advertised a
yes,
single
I,
thing. No,
yes,
you
I have.
He does it at the very beginning.
Not when I've been
you
on. Not when I've been on.
Because you don't sign. You sign on in midway in.
Yeah. He does it at the
you
very
listen,
beginning, like
listen
the first
to
five
the beginning
minutes.
Of the show.
Well, so, okay, so does that tell you something, Bobby? Maybe you need to do periodic and advertisements throughout
true.
The show. Instead of just when you
yeah,
first sign
true.
On, because guy who comes in the middle of the show, maybe because you have a two-hour show, every 30 minutes, throw a plug out there.
True.
Just a thought. Because, you know,
yeah.
my observation has been there's no advertising. One time I did hear you asking for some donations for the colonel and for the guy who had the fire. And then, but you also went on your soapbox bitching about no one making donations. And it was kind of negative, turned people off, maybe not.
Well, Because
you said it that one time right in the beginning, but later on during the show, it was never repeated.
Right.
So,
but
why
do that every 30 minutes?
Yeah, if you don't hear it, like if I get on 30 minutes into the show, I don't hear any more advertisements throughout the show. How do I know you? I didn't even know you had a website selling stuff in the store. I just found out. Mm-hmm. I've been hanging out with you guys for a while.
Right. Well, see, that's the thing. Everything is on our Facebook national page. And when we do shows, I ask for input. See, what you're giving us right now is what I've been dying for.
Okay. Well, thank
you. It's feedback.
Sure. Yeah. Because, yeah, I didn't know you had all of it. If you're just a guy who's just calling in, you don't have access to the internet or whatever. That's what I do. I just call in off my cell phone. And when I did try to go in through Facebook and tried to go in through where it's supposed to be video and audio, you guys said it wasn't working. So I've never used that. You know that is working.
Yeah, because the video. The video Blog Talk has advertised ever since I've been on here about using Skype. And every time we try to sign in on Skype to do a show, it kicks you out.
So then you go to a different platform like Zoom.
You got to
Google
Meet.
Right,
Google
Meet.
But you got to do what the blog talk does. What platform?
Move it over. Make a change. Move it
over.
Well,
the good thing about blog talk.
Why can't you do simultaneous broadcast with blog talk and a Zoom? Why not? Or a Google Meet. You can do
that's
a simultaneous one. Yeah?
That's what I'm saying.
It's just ideas. It's just ideas.
Right. But that's what I'm saying with
Nobody
Skype.
Uses Skype anymore. Nobody uses
I know
Skype
that.
Anymore.
But
yeah.
that's the only
that's
platform
why it doesn't
that
work.
Blog Talk offers. And it
and
don't
the bad,
work.
The bad thing about Skype, too, is that Skype can turn on and monitor your home. That's why a lot of people, it's insecure. There's no security with Skype. That's why a lot of us professionals got away from it. So, we can...
I think we're
going to
be kicked off in a second.
Yep. There's, like, several different social media platforms, and they're free to use. You can pay for stuff.
We all got to... Just like you said, Phil, we got to get on a video chat together.
Yeah, and,
talk and
come up with
stuff.
Some brainstorming ideas of how to improve.
You
have a good
since you and Kim are the busiest. You guys let me know when a good time in the day is for you.
That would Saturday be the best?
On. Nah, because Phil has, he does his band.
No, I'm not doing that right now. Yeah, I'm Saturday. My weekends are open now. So my weekends are good. Usually Monday, right now, Monday to Friday, I'm 9 to 6, but then I got, so weekends are good. I'm good for the weekend.
Yeah, like I said, we do a 30-minute or even an hour video chat.
Yeah, well, anyway, for right now with what you got a two-hour show. Every 30 minutes, come in and do an advertisement or a plug for the Defenders. Tell people where they can go to look at your website. Tell them what, products you have to offer. Tell them what, we're trying to raise money for this event or this person at this, that would be a good idea, I suggest.
Definitely.
No, it is. How are we over on 2 hours?
It actually switched off, and I'm surprised they didn't cut us off.
Are we it's all over?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 hours is...
Yeah, well, maybe they're monitoring us. Maybe they're monitoring the things that we're saying. You start talking about leaving their broadcast, and they're going to be like, hold on, wait, my ears are perking up here. Maybe we got to get this Skype situation fixed.
Right?
There is another, I don't know what it is. My friend of mine, he has his own. He's got a radio show, but he does it where it's actually a radio and a live show where you can watch it. One of them's on YouTube, and I can't think of what the other one is. And he had to go back and forth because the Facebook Live got kicked off because how they are.
And see, that's one of the reasons why we went with Blog Talk, because we're not under FCC guidelines. They can't block us. They can't kick us off.
Well, you can look at an app called Teams. There's an app called Teams, T-E-A-M-S, that we use. I use. We use Zoom. We also use Google Meet. So most of the people, the medical people that I deal with, those are the multimedia outlets that we're using. Teams is a good one. Zoom is a good one. And then the Google Meet, that's another good one. So, and you can do simultaneous broadcasts. You can figure out how to link them together. since you already have your fan base on Defender on the blog talk, but and you don't want to lose what you got, you just want to add to what you got, and these will open you up to more. Even Facebook has a meeting room now. They have a blog, Facebook, I think, something going on with them.
What about podcasts?
Well, podcasts are like pre-recorded things that they repeat, right?
Well, see, you know, people can download our shows now.
I think the
timing from East Coast to West Coast, it goes back, you know, time. And so you may not be able to listen to the show now, so you could actually go on Blog Talk and listen to any one of our shows at any time.
And then I guess another thing to think about to make it a little more professional is having your show set up in a scheduled format regarding the first 20 minutes you're going to talk about this, you're going to come into a commercial, and then you're going to come in and you're going to talk, you're going to have like not just the same thing the entire show, but have little sections of your show divided out, like in 30-minute sections. That'll give you four different sections where you can talk about four different things, and between those four ideas, you can put your commercial in there to advertise. Maybe you can even, at that point, as you start growing, you could pick up advertisements that are paid from other folks.
Right. Well, see, we
thought about that
too. Anybody that's a member, I had made this blog talk because I pay for it myself. And I donated it to the Defenders. And I even put out there that any members that have a business and they want to plug to hit me up. And I'll do it.
Yeah,
for
you
nothing.
Offered me that too. You offered me that too, but I just said I just wanted to see how things were going to go and what the format was and what kind of, you know, topics we did. So at the moment, you guys are flying by the seat of the pants, and it has potential. I see a lot of potential, and I would love to help out growing this thing with
we
you
do.
Guys.
So, I would love you to help out,
like,
brother.
And as long as I get to flirt with Lorna, I'm in. That's my fringe. That's my fringe benefit.
You know she's only 3 foot and she weighs over 300 pounds, right?
Yeah,
oh,
but
whatever.
You know when I go out on the weekends. I go out on the weekends with my 4x4, but I let her drive.
Oh yeah.
But no, there is
all
potential
right,
for the show, and it's just.
How about this? We do 30 minutes or an hour on this Saturday coming up.
A little Zoom meeting, powwow, get together.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this
sounds
way,
good,
this
man.
This way we'll have all the officers and everything all in one room, and we could discuss this again, because I already wrote it down. But
what, do it instead of our show?
You have
no,
a show on Saturday?
Oh, shit, that's right.
Well, you don't have to do, you
don't
have to
have
do a
to
show
do
on Saturday. You can do, you, we can just do a Zoom meeting or something like that. I'll set up a meeting and I'll send everybody a link through their email. All you do is click on the link and meet at the time, and you can do it that way. Or you can do it, Bobby. You can go through one of those ones that you like and just send everybody a link at what time to meet and click on the link and we all meet there.
We'll see. We normally do the video chats inside our messenger. You just click on the video and everybody signs on.
You know, messenger. I deleted messenger because I got tired of all of the advertisements and the stupid ass pictures people send me all the time. So messenger is like annoying. But just for you, I'll put it back on there just for you. But I hate Messenger. I'm telling you, Messenger sucks.
Just Just mute all the notifications except for the one room that we sign you into.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
You can do that. Yeah, you can mute all notifications.
This way, whenever you need to have a meeting or something, you just pop in there and say, "Hey, yo, I'm free this day."
Yeah.
All right, we'll do. We'll put the messenger back.
All
on
right. Here. We're 10 minutes
all right,
over. Holy cow.
Phil, you do that, and I will go into the one that we're already linked to, and I'll add
uh-huh.
you to it.
Okay, we'll do. All right, I'll do that.
All right, everybody. Love y'all.
As soon as I hang up, God bless. Happy Easter if I don't talk to you before then.
Yes, happy Easter.
Lauren, looking forward to hiding your eggs.